And you're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 100.5 FM.
This week, the Welfare Food Challenge came to a close. The challenge was issued to the politicians of British Columbia, and all people of BC were invited to participate. Participants were asked to attempt to eat on $26 for a week without falling back on any free or provided food, and then to add their voices to public discussion about ending poverty in BC. $26 was chosen because it represents the maximum amount of money a single able-bodied adult has left for a week after paying for shelter, transit, and a cell phone. Peter Driftmeyer is a member of the Red Eye Collective and a food justice organizer. He works at Community Gardens in the downtown East Side. And Peter joins us in our studio to report back from the challenge as a participant. Hello, Peter.
Good morning, Jane.
So how did your daily eating change while you were on the challenge?
Well, I was able to eat three times a day, and my partner did it as well, so we we're automatically kind of breaking the rules by pooling our resources. We were able to buy oil, salt, curry powder, a tin of coffee, which wouldn't have spread as far. And when you're actually on social assistance, you don't just get double the amount for if you're a couple. So we had some fruit and veggies, but our fruit and vegetable consumption went way down. All of our starches were highly processed. Lots of lentils. I can say for certain that I will think again about ever not just the lack of choice around what vegetables I was having and the lack of choice about what I was eating. Everything was so planned out and meticulous that I was not looking forward to most of my meals. It was just so much so highly organized around the cheapest possible reduced cost vegetables that we could get.
Did you ultimately finish on $26?
No. If we were to have actually finished on $26, I had some wine that I didn't count in that. And plus, there were long stretches of some days where I was just, there was one day in particular where we were so hungry, we were so close to making it, and we were hungry every day. Like every day I'd end the day with a headache. But one day we were so close to making it, it was one of the last days, and we had to split a dollar bag of chips because we were that hungry, and that would have bumped us over. And of course, if you're actually on social assistance, there is no going over your budget. And the $26 to begin with is an arbitrary and almost artificially high number, because that's based on the assumption that you can actually afford rent on $375 a month, that you'll actually only need to take the bus 10 times in a month, and that you'll never, ever pay for a haircut.
What impacts did the eating so little have on the rest of your life?
Well, I definitely didn't do any physical activity. I avoided it. I had a colleague who was on the challenge, and he went to the gym and felt faint. So that was a good warning to not do any physical activity. Definitely tired and headachey. And again, didn't look forward to my meals because I had no control over eating what my body was telling me that I wanted and that I needed.
Do you think it's possible to eat in a healthy way on $26 a week?
Absolutely not. The Dietitians of Canada put out a report for BC in particular that looks at all the different regions, and they say that it costs at least double this $26 rate per week for a conservative, basic, healthful diet. So it really brought to light for me the extent to which our social welfare system, it depends on charities, and in that way, our social welfare system is offloading its responsibilities onto charities. And if you look at how charities are structured, they aren't accountable to the people that they're serving. So you can end up with any kind of nutritional quality in your diet if you end up depending on charities. We have a tendency in our society to blame low-income people for not budgeting well enough or for making poor food choices, but it all comes back to really it is impossible to eat healthfully, let alone have a full stomach on $26. A dietitian did the challenge and confirmed the same thing. He counted all the vitamins and minerals that he was missing. And not just on physical health, but I'll give an example of a workshop participant I met who was on disability. So he had a bit of a higher income. And with his depression and his blood sugar levels, because he was eating such highly processed starches, his blood sugar would peak, which meant that when his blood sugar came crashing down again, his depression was much worse and he was suicidal. And so it comes back to mental health and emotional health and physical health in traumatic ways.
Now, you mentioned a little bit about this already, but I just wanted to ask you a little more about how your experience would differ from somebody who's currently on welfare.
Well, definitely, I started the week with a clean slate of health, and I finished it with a slightly worse, and now I'm back to all the rest of my physical activity. So I definitely didn't experience the cumulative health impacts. I didn't experience the stress and humiliation of depending on charities, waiting in lineups, not having choice, being barked at under high stress volunteers and staff at these charities who are dealing with overwhelming amounts of people who aren't being adequately supported by our social welfare system. I didn't experience the direct oppressive environment of the welfare office. If you want to get the entitlements that you're legally entitled to, you practically need a lawyer or advocate just to navigate our welfare system. Or like the directions come to welfare officers to use any means like to not inform people of what they're entitled to and to try to get them less money. And I hear that over and over again from the people I meet in the downtown east side. And obviously I come into even just the way I walk about life and earn my living wage job because I haven't experienced the cumulative impacts of the diverse forms of oppression that put people in the position to require social assistance.
Have BC welfare rates always been this low?
No. About 30 years ago, in real dollars, they would have been worth about 50% more. But because of inflation and cuts over these years, instead of today's value of $900, it's $610. So if you look at over those 30 years, we didn't have food banks until this happened. So you can look at food banks as a direct result of our government shirking its responsibilities. And if you're a union worker trying to bargain for a cost of living inflation or cost of living a raise, think about not having had a raise for 30 years. And that's what you're looking at.
Why, in your view, were welfare rates set up the way that they are?
Well, they're definitely arbitrary. They're definitely not set up to be a social safety net. I think it reflects the extent to which our government's willing to not preserve a progressive tax system because the wealthiest 20% of British Columbians don't pay as much in a proportion of their actual income as other income brackets do because of all of our flat taxes. So it allows for the rich to evade or avoid taxes. It reflects the extent to which our government's willing to or directly wants to punish people into taking precarious and low-wage jobs. I've heard great analogies and great... people have talked to me about how we should even abandon the term welfare because it's really a form of workfare. We're punishing people into taking precarious forms of work that don't support them either. And ultimately, we don't even organize the economy to have full employment. When I was in my introduction to economics in university, pretty much if you have jobs completely dependent on a free market exchange between labor and employer, there will not be full employment. So we're going to have people without jobs. It's just a matter of if we want to provide a social safety net or if we want to punish them into taking whatever does come and provide an example for people who are working in the low-wage jobs to not organize for better conditions because welfare could happen to them, you know?
What I'm sure you had a lot of time to think about this while you were in the situation and you were feeling hungry and probably also angry about this situation. What needs to change in terms of the way our communities respond to food insecurity among people who are on a low income?
Well, we definitely, you know, every year there's going to be a food bank drive. And I would suggest that if you're going to donate to the food bank this year, then also take a stand for against underlying causes of food insecurity. So we need to definitely engage in a more empowerment-oriented programming in the social services that we offer, but also challenge and resist the government programs which are keeping people poor. Yeah, definitely. If you're considering donating to the food bank, also take a stand, a political stand.
What would you recommend that people do who want to help improve the situation and win higher social assistance rates in BC?
Well, my starting answer would be to the people who are on social assistance and disability and pensions and low wages to join a democratic and activist organization which is fighting for improvements in those areas. The food challenge reached out to people who aren't in those positions to take a stand, which is important, but we really need your leadership. And I'm speaking to all the folks who are on poverty income to take leadership and join an organization, get involved, raise the rates, ask participants to write both the premier and the leadership of the opposition party. Because right now, even though we have an election in the spring, these parties are drafting their campaign programs. So the NDP supposedly has a poverty reduction strategy, but they're not saying what it means. So I definitely ask people to write premier@gov.bc.ca, that's Christy Clark, as well as the NDP leader, that's adrian.dix.mla@ledge.bc.ca, and ask them to raise the rates to raise the rates demand, which is $1,300 a month welfare rate.
Well, thank you very much for coming in this morning, Peter, and telling us about it.
It's been my pleasure.
I've been speaking with Red Eye Collective member Peter Driftmeyer. Peter is a food justice organizer and participated in the Welfare Food Challenge issued by the coalition Raise the Rates. If you'd like more information on the challenge and the campaign for a higher welfare rate and for minimum wage in BC, you can visit welfarefoodchallenge.org.